Welcome to The Warcast, your geopolitical briefing that tells you what you need to know, when you need to know it. The Warcast is for War on the Rocks members only. Spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to sign up at warontherocks.com/subscribe.
In a briefing earlier this week, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu alleged that Iran had lied about a number of aspects of the nuclear program prior to the JCPOA, suggesting that the deal should never have taken place. My guest today is Jeffrey Lewis, director of the East Asian Nonproliferation Program at the James Martin Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. Welcome to the Warcast, Jeff.
Ah, it's nice to talk to you.
Thank you. So the first lie that Netanyahu alleges is that Iran had a secret military program before the deal was signed. Is that true? Did we know that? And does it matter?
It's true that the Iranians had a nuclear weapons program before 2003. We knew that. That's why a lot of us wanted to see additional safeguards and inspections put on Iran so that that program would never finish. And so I would say, no, it doesn't matter. Or if it does matter, it matters only in the sense that it states what the problem is, which is that some people in Iran want a nuclear weapon, and we don't want them to have one. And I happen to think the JCPOA is a much better solution than bombing and occupying them.
And so they had a program up until 2003. Did it continue after that? And do you have a sense of the scope of what they were trying to build?
Yes. So Iran clearly had a nuclear weapons program up until 2003. It gets a little bit messy after that. The U.S. intelligence community, in a very famous national intelligence estimate, concluded that the program had halted. Weirdly, by halt, they mean halt like in a march, which I think for those of us who grew up with cassette tapes, we would have said paused. And so it's difficult to say whether it stopped. It seems to have stopped. I think this archive is evidence that all of the information was sort of boxed up and put in storage. But of course, the people who worked on the program continue to live. The Iranians didn't take them out and shoot them. And so there were certainly some activities that continued on after that.
Netanyahu also alleges that Iran maintains currently a secret military program. What do you think of his evidence, and is this likely?
Well, so he ended up editing that slide and taking out that claim. And I think the reason he did that is because there isn't any evidence to support that. We know that they had a weapons program before 2003. It looks like much of that work stopped. But, you know, from my perspective, it's a little bit of a strange kind of thing, because I actually agree with Netanyahu that that's the kind of thing we should be worried about. I think that both the International Atomic Energy Agency and the United States intelligence community should be incredibly focused on the prospect that Iran might try to build a nuclear weapon in secret. I guess the place I just disagree with Netanyahu is I think the tools that the JCPOA gives us are much, much more effective than just trying to do it without them.
In his presentation, Netanyahu included some rather detailed technical information on Iranian capabilities, or at least designs. You know, when were these tests and designs from, and what do they tell us about the maturity of Iran's nuclear program?
Yeah, all of the things that Netanyahu mentioned were done before 2003. And in fact, all of the things he mentioned in his presentation were already documented in the 2015 report that the IAEA released. That was the kind of final summation in which the IAEA concluded that Iran had a nuclear weapons program, right? The Iranians deny that, which is where the Netanyahu talking point that they lied came from. But I think all of us found the IAEA's evidence pretty compelling. There were a few new things, and really the thing that really struck most of us is, while we understood the outlines of the program, and we understand the work that they had done, when you actually see what the Iranian nuclear ambitions were before 2003, they weren't nearly as ambitious as we had thought. You know, they were basically going for 5 nuclear weapons that they were going to keep secretly in storage. So I have often thought that, you know, that the Iranians were going for something like a North Korean kind of arsenal, but they were actually going for a South African arsenal. And it raises all kinds of interesting questions about how much support there was for the program and how actually competent the Iranian designers were. They really were not as ambitious as I had expected.
And from these technical details, like, how big of a warhead were they attempting to design, and what sort of missiles would they have been able to put it on?
So they were designing a 10 kiloton device, which is certainly large enough to ruin your day, but not particularly large in the context of nuclear weapons. And they were designing that device to be carried by a Shahab-3, which is basically an improved Iranian version of North Korea's Nodong. So this is a missile that could go all the way to Israel, but that would kind of be the outer limit of its range. And as I say, they were only planning 5 devices. So, you know, you never want to dismiss even a small nuclear weapons program. I think sort of when you see it in detail, I think a lot of us felt like the Iranians were likely to be more committed than they were. It really seems like what they were trying to do was sneak across the finish line. And I happen to be someone who thinks that if they had done that and if they'd gone the South African route, they might have kept those bombs in the basement for a while. But nuclear weapons programs tend to get a momentum of their own, and they might have felt compelled to come back and come up with something bigger and better.
Does this make any suggestions about their strategic use of owning these types of weapons? I mean, does it give credence, for instance, to the arguments that have been made that their weapons program was mostly based off of their experience in the Iran-Iraq War and preventing the reoccurrence of such a conflict?
Yes. In fact, I'm sure people will be offended by the comparison, and I don't intend any offense by it. But they seem to have adopted kind of the Israeli approach, which is that you want this capability and you want to hold it in reserve, but you don't necessarily want to tell other people about it, and you don't want to force other people to respond. And so, we used to call that opacity. And back in the days when I started studying this, the three cases of opacity were the Israelis and the Indians and the Pakistanis. And we didn't actually realize that the South Africans even had them. But over time, obviously, India and Pakistan have gone to much more overt models. But it seems like at least the original Iranian conception was to construct these weapons in secret, and then not to let anyone know about them unless they were facing a real crisis. And then, like South Africa, they would disclose them perhaps first with a test. And then if that didn't succeed, then with the limited nuclear use. Still not a good thing, but a very curious choice, I think, from an IR perspective, not what I would have anticipated.
And do the technical details that we were told about earlier this week tell us anything about the possibility of Iran cooperating with other states to advance their technology?
Yeah, you know, there are two things. One is that the Iranians weren't very ambitious, and so it looks like they conducted their weapons program in isolation of, say, the North Koreans, which is very strange because obviously their missile programs were conducted with very close cooperation with North Korea. I've never really understood that, and now that we have, at least in theory, access to the full set of documents, I'd really like to go through them and see if maybe there are further hints of North Korean cooperation, because I certainly think the North Koreans are willing to, do anything for money. But at least from what Netanyahu released, which, is a small sample, I didn't see the level of cooperation with other states that I would have expected. And my suspicion is that maybe was a function of Iran's desire to keep all of this on the DL.
Is there anything new that we learned from this presentation that we didn't already know from the IAEA's reports or the NIE's?
I went through and I correlated all of Netanyahu's presentation to things the IAEA had said. Mm-hmm. And so usually what was happening is he's telling us things we already know, but because he's data dumping the material, we're not just getting the description of the activity, which is what exists in the IAEA report. But then we're getting a picture of the document or a picture of the object or a video. And, whatever, you can tell me things all you want, I'm still going to be excited if I get a picture.
Does anything in the Israeli disclosure suggest that Iran is not in compliance with the JCPOA?
No, I don't think so. This is all stuff we knew up to date. I think the closest I've seen is some people say, well, it wasn't great that they kept the archive, And I suppose you could complain about that, although I didn't expect them to light it on fire. Actually, you know, I kind of, it's a strange thing, but if you listen to the Israeli origin story about how they acquired it, I actually think it's quite reassuring. And the answer is the Iranians boxed it all up and they put it in storage and then they didn't even monitor it. You know, Netanyahu described it as a kind of lending library, but it would have been quite hard for them to steal if it was a library with librarians and people checking things out. It actually seems like they truly did put the thing on ice, boxed everything up and put it away, which I should say is consistent with what the U.S. intelligence community thought 10 years ago when they first got communications intercepts suggesting the program had been shut down. You know, what they got was, I believe, communications intercepts showing like people complaining about their work getting shut down. And now we know it went off to some forgotten storage facility like the Ark in Raiders of the Lost Ark.